This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, Health and Healing. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. We shall close today's program with our segment on the Jubilee of Hope. I am Festus Tsarawali. Pope Leo XIV on Wednesday morning welcomed Eastern Catholics to the Vatican for the Jubilee of Eastern Churches. In his address in the Paul VI Hall, he highlighted the need to preserve their traditions and pray for true peace, which he said is reconciliation, forgiveness, and the courage to turn the page and start anew. The Pope acknowledged that many Eastern Rite Catholics have been forced to flee their homelands because of war and persecution, instability and poverty, and vowed to take every effort to work for peace. The Church needs you, Pope Leo told the members of the Eastern Churches, which includes the Coptic, Chaldean, Maronite, Ethiopian and Eritrean Catholic Churches, as well as the Syro-Malabar Church in India and Greek Catholic communities that are found across Eastern Europe and the Americas. Christopher Wells reports.
Siete preziosi.
You are precious in God's eyes, Pope Leo told Eastern Catholics on Wednesday, as he expressed his happiness at receiving them in one of the first major events of his pontificate.
La Chiesa ha bisogno di voi.
The Church needs you, he continued, pointing to the immense contribution Eastern Christians offer the universal Church. He highlighted the need to recover a sense of mystery that remains alive in the Eastern liturgies, the sense of the primacy of God, the importance of mystagogy, and the values of Eastern spirituality. It is vital, he said, that you preserve your traditions without attenuating them. And he reiterated the appeal of his predecessor Leo XIII to preserve and promote the Christian East, especially in the diaspora. Pope Leo XIV went on to highlight the traditions of Eastern spirituality in which the drama of human misery is combined with wonder at God's mercy. So, he said, we must ask for the grace to see the certainty of Easter in every trial of life and not to lose heart. Recalling the suffering faced by so many Eastern Christians, Pope Leo asked, who better than you can sing a song of hope amid the abyss of violence?
Chi dunque più di voi può cantare parole di speranza?
He recalled the anguish provoked by wars in the Holy Land, in Ukraine, in Lebanon and Syria, from the Middle East to Tigray and the Caucasus. And he repeated the resounding appeal, not so much of the Pope, but of Christ himself. May peace be with you. Pope Leo assured Eastern Christians of his commitment to make every effort that the peace of Christ might prevail throughout the world. And he appealed to world leaders to respond to their people's desire for peace through encounter and dialogue. I'm Christopher Wells.
On the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima on Tuesday, May the 13th, Pope Leo XIV celebrated Mass with his Augustinian brothers at the General Curia of the Order of St. Augustine near the Vatican. He then joined them for lunch, a routine that was almost daily for him when he was a cardinal. Just before noon, the Pope arrived at the place he called home for 12 years, from 2001 to 2013, while serving as Prior General of his congregation. The Holy See Press Office has released the official explanation of the coat of arms of Pope Leo XIV. As Devin Watkins reports, the Pope's heraldry evokes his devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, an inspiration drawn from St. Augustine.
The Holy See Press Office released the official explanation of Pope Leo XIV's coat of arms on Wednesday. In the explanation, Father Antonio Pompili, Vice President of the Italian Heraldic Genealogical Institute, highlights its Marian and Augustinian elements. The Pope's coat of arms includes the traditional papal symbols of the crossed keys of St. Peter and the Episcopal mitre. The upper left-hand corner of the shield bears a silver fleur-de-lis set against a light blue background. On the bottom right, a red heart topped by a flame and pierced by an arrow sit atop a red book framed by an ivory background. Pope Leo XIV's motto, "In the One, We Are One," sits at the bottom of the coat of arms. The motto echoes St. Augustine's sermon on Psalm 127, where he explains that although we Christians are many, in the one Christ we are one. Father Pompili pointed out that the blue field evokes the heights of the heavens and is distinguished by its Marian significance, with the lily appearing as the classic symbol of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The opposite field, he noted, contains the heart inflamed and pierced by an arrow, which is the emblem of the Order of St. Augustine, of which Pope Leo XIV served as prior general for 2 terms. This figure symbolically evokes St. Augustine's words in the Confessions, "You pierced my heart with your love." It is typically accompanied by the open book, which symbolizes the Word of God that transforms every human heart, as it did Augustine's. I'm Devin Watkins.
Catholic mothers in Nigeria have been reminded of their crucial role in shaping the character and future of their children. The message was delivered during a Thanksgiving Mass held in celebration of the World Union of Catholic Women's Organizations, or WUKWO. Delphine Asu has this report.
The 2025 Thanksgiving Mass for the World Union of Catholic Women's Organizations in Abuja Archdiocese took place at Holy Rosary Catholic Church, Wuse, Abuja. In his homily, Reverend Nwachukwu Franklin Obinna urged mothers to motivate children to pursue their religious vocation.
Thank God our mothers are here today. Your homes are the first churches that your children know. We are asked to encourage you to talk to your children to be involved in vocation life. If you cannot go, support those who have gone. Encourage your children, especially those who are above the age of marriage and would not enter the vocation of marriage. Encourage them. Those who want to join the Presbyterium and serve in religious life, give them an opportunity to go. I spoke to the fathers because they wore their uniform in the other mass. I said, you are the good shepherd of your home. You are good shepherd. So many of us will be looking at the priests on the altar and say, they are the good shepherd. Let them take it. You are good shepherd of your home. The Lord has bestowed such opportunity upon you. So take up that responsibility.
He also challenged parents to raise their children responsibly. In Abuja, Nigeria, Delphine Asu reporting.
South Africa's biggest food producer on Monday offered to compensate victims of the foodborne disease listeriosis, making a major step towards resolving a class action that was filed in 2017 following an outbreak that killed 200 people and sickened more than 1,000. The Justice and Peace Commission of the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference has welcomed the offer by Tiger Brands, as we hear in this report by Sheila Pirish.
The Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference, SACBC Justice and Peace Commission, has welcomed Tiger Brands' submission of the long-awaited settlement offer in the class action lawsuit related to the 2017-2018 listeriosis outbreak linked to contaminated processed meats such as Polony and Vienna's that claimed over 200 lives and left more than 1,000 people infected. Many victims were infants, elderly persons, and pregnant women, communities with limited means to seek justice. The SACBC Justice and Peace Commission stood by these victims from the start. In its latest statement, the Commission applauded the courage of the families and the legal teams who fought tirelessly on their behalf. Speaking to Vatican News, Bishop Tulani Victor Buyisa, CMM, the chairperson of the SACBC Justice and Peace Commission, said the long-awaited settlement marks a momentous breakthrough for the voiceless.
This decision demonstrates that some form of conversion of corporate heart can happen in the business sector. And this is the kind of conversion that is so desperately needed in South Africa today.
In Pretoria, South Africa, for Vatican News, I'm Sheila Pirish.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
The president of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, has said the mediation efforts by Qatar and the United States of America designed to achieve peace in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo are part of several other efforts, but it is not yet clear if they will bear the intended fruits. Mr. Kagame was speaking on Tuesday at the Africa CEO Forum, which opened on Monday in the Ivorian city of Abidjan. Qatar and the United States have played a role in persuading the president of Rwanda and the president of the Democratic Republic of Congo to discuss peace. Mr. Kagame told the participants at the forum that while the American efforts are welcome, African problems need African solutions. The government of the Democratic Republic of Congo says it wants Rwanda to stop support for M23 rebels who have captured big territory in the east of the country. Rwanda, on its part, wants Congo to fully address its internal security challenges, which often spill over into Rwandan territory, and to address Rwanda's security concerns, including disbanding a Hutu rebel movement, many of whose members committed the 1994 Rwandan genocide. The military government in Mali has closed the office of a French news channel TV5 Monday in Bamako for reporting on demonstrators who were demanding an end to military rule and protesting against the decision to suspend the activities of political parties. The program was aired last Friday, and on Monday this week, the channel was closed and its broadcasting license revoked by the military government. The government said the report it aired was biased, unbalanced, and defamed the armed forces. The opposition Chadema political party in Tanzania has reported that its Deputy Secretary General Amani Gurugwa was arrested on Monday by police at Julius Nyerere International Airport when he was checking in to travel to Belgium for a political conference. The police have confirmed the arrest, but revealed that they had released him on bond on Tuesday. The arrest was one of the many others that have targeted Chadema politicians as Tanzania prepares for general elections scheduled for October this year. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio. And now our feature, Health and Healing. United Nations member states are since Monday this week observing the 8th United Nations Global Road Safety Week. The observance will continue up to Sunday, May 18th. This year's campaign theme, as requested by the United Nations General Assembly, is Make Walking and Cycling Safe. The objective of the General Assembly is to mobilize the public in United Nations member states to demand safer streets for walking and cycling, and to call upon policymakers to implement proven interventions to achieve that. Medical specialists have for a long time indicated that when made safe, walking and cycling do contribute to making people healthier because they are physical exercises. According to the World Health Organization, road traffic injuries are a leading cause of death and disability in the world. About 1.2 million people die in road accidents every year, while 50 million suffer injuries sustained from accidents. Statistics compiled from all United Nations member states indicate that one in every four people who die in road traffic accidents are pedestrians, that is, people walking on the streets, and cyclists, majority of whom aged between 5 to 29 years. Jean Todt is the United Nations Special Envoy for Road Safety. He told reporters in Geneva on Monday that one in five of the people who survive road accidents suffer lifelong injuries. He noted that road accidents cost most countries 5% of their annual revenues every year, and that this money could be saved by investing in road safety. He explained that every death caused by a road accident can be prevented, but the problem is to convince people to change their risky driving or riding behavior, to respect traffic laws, and not to drive vehicles that are in dangerous mechanical conditions. Similarly, he added, it is still a challenge to convince some governments to invest more resources in good quality roads and in post-crash services to save lives on the roads. He suggested some of the ways to prevent injuries and death on the roads.
The safety belt in the front, in the rear, where a proper UN standard helmet, don't overspeed, don't drink if you are driving, and don't use your phone when you are driving.
Jean Todt, the United Nations Special Envoy for Road Safety. The World Health Organization, the WHO, is one of the international agencies taking part in this year's Global Road Safety Week campaign. It issued an audio message at the weekend through Dr. Etienne Krug, the director of its Department for the Social Determinants of Health.
This year, we dedicate the week to making walking and cycling safe. The reason for that is that of the 3,200 people who die every day on the world's roads, roughly one quarter are pedestrians and cyclists. There are some variations across regions. In Africa, for example, one in three road traffic deaths are pedestrians. And in the Western Pacific, one in seven are cyclists. Meanwhile, 80% of the world's roads fail to meet pedestrian safety standards. And just 0.2% have cycle lanes, leaving these road users dangerously exposed. We need, and we can, do better. Walking and cycling should be the most ordinary and therefore the safest mode of transport. If our ambitious fatality reduction targets are to be met, we need political will for accelerated action on proven measures. As reflected in the Global Plan for the Decade of Action for Road Safety 2021-2030, such measures include better laws and law enforcement, for example, around speeding, using of phones while driving, and drinking and driving, better vehicles and infrastructure with sidewalks, bicycle lanes, and safe crossings, and better emergency care systems. Many countries are taking steps in the right direction and prioritize our right to safe mobility. However, governments must continue to rethink mobility, improving safety so that people are able to make more healthy and sustainable transport choices. These include safe walking, cycling, and using public transport, which are better for people and the planet. These modes can help to reduce the burden of diseases like cancer and diabetes, improve our mental health, boost access to jobs and education, and help fight climate change. We need commitment and action from leaders and governments that match the scale and urgency of the ongoing crisis. We count on you to carry the messages and calls to action from today forward. Together, let's ensure that we're able to walk and cycle in safety.
Dr. Etienne Krug, the director of the World Health Organization's Department for the Social Determinants of Health, delivering a message there in Geneva at the weekend for the 8th United Nations Global Road Safety Week 2025. And that was Health and Healing for this week. This has been Johnny Baptist Tumusime.
Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly program of news, views, and reflections on the Jubilee Year 2025.
Hello! Greetings from all of us here at the English African section of Vatican Radio as we continue to share with you the joy of the resurrection and at the same time thank God for the gift of our new Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, whom he has given to us at this moment in the life of the Church, thereby renewing the hope we have in him, which does not disappoint. My name is Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe, and I'm here once again to journey with you on today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope. The Jubilee Year of Hope is a period of going back to our roots and discovering our greatest history, both as individuals and as an institute. Hence, today, we share with you the Jubilee Year experience of the missionaries of Africa as they celebrate the Jubilee Year together with the bicentenary birth anniversary of their founder, Cardinal Charles Lavigeri. The missionaries of Africa, known as the White Fathers, and the Missionary Sisters of Our Lady of Africa, also known as the White Sisters, were founded in 1868 and 1869, respectively, by Cardinal Lavigeri, to evangelize the African continent. Hence, in commemoration of the bicentenary celebration of his birth anniversary in 1825, they celebrate also the Jubilee Year as representatives from the different provinces of both the male and female members, together with some of their lay associates, gathered in Rome for this celebration, for the success of their mission and apostolate, especially in Africa. We had the privilege of conducting an interview with the Superior General of the White Fathers, Father Stanley Luvungu, by our correspondent, John Baptist Tumusime.
We are privileged to host Father Stanley Luvungu, the Superior General of the Missionaries of Africa, who will be talking to us about a number of issues regarding their society and the plans they have for the future. Father, you are welcome to Vatican Radio.
Thank you very much.
You have just finished a week-long meeting with the superiors of all your entities, provinces and sections representing the entire society of the missionaries of Africa. And with them and all your members present in Rome, you crossed the holy door. Why did you decide to make this pilgrimage at this time?
First of all, our provincials and leaders have been present. We met in a kind of plenary council. We do that every year. And this time they came to Rome because in Rome there is the Jubilee. So we wanted to seize this opportunity to spend some time with them here praying also. It is a time also that we looked at other different issues. For instance, we had reserved this for the pilgrimage so that we can together pray and cross the holy door as representatives of all the confreres, all the provincials being there today. It's as if they crossed the holy door for all our confreres and we were asking for the graces that we need for our society. We were also joined by the missionary sisters of Our Lady of Africa, the White Sisters, who were also founded by our founder. So inside this Jubilee Year of the Church, we also are commemorating the bicentenary jubilee of the birth of our founder. That is why the sisters joined us also. So we associated that to pray for our two institutions, but also in a special way to think of our founder and the faith that he transmitted to us and to the African continent.
It is indeed very wonderful and important to celebrate and appreciate our faith history, especially during this Jubilee Year of Hope. When asked what he would love to say to our listeners and all the pilgrims of hope, he had this to say.
Now, just to appreciate the Jubilee Year as it is organized, we had the opportunity to make our own pilgrimage. It was a very moving moment, you know, to be able to carry the prayers of so many people asking us to pray for them. We have the opportunity to be in Rome. So for me, I was really touched by this faith event and the theme that it carries, that we are called to be pilgrims of hope. For the short distance that we covered, praying together, thinking of what is happening in our world, we really need to welcome and spread the good news of Jesus, because it is about peace and this is what our world needs, and we should never lose hope into a better world. This is what I would like to invite everyone to join this prayerful moment as Christians, and to be really where we are, pilgrims of hope, because we can still make the world a better place.
Thank you so much, Father Stanley Luvungo, for these words of encouragement. And thank you so much, John Baptist Musime, for this interview as we continue to pray for the success of the African mission, not only for the White Fathers, but also for all those in the mission of evangelizing Africa and other continents of the world, that through them, the hope of Christ may be brought to all. And this brings us to the end of today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope. I hope to meet you all next week on this same station. I am Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe. Jubilee Prayer.
Father in heaven, may the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, when, with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.